I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting A Court of Silver Flames by Sarah J. Maas. Are you ready? Ooh.
Lauren.
What do you got over there?
I have the perfect drink to go along with our recording today.
What is it?
It's just a beer because we're in the afternoon here, so I wanted something light. It's one of my favorites. It often lives in my fridge, and it's called Filthy Dirty IPA.
That's very fitting for this book. I love it. Aw, I love beer.
Yeah.
I
love beer too.
I actually prefer beer over wine. But it's a bummer.
That's funny because because you can't drink most of it.
Right. So,
yeah.
I recently went to a brewery in Nantucket. If anyone is familiar with Nantucket, it's called Cisco Brewery, and they had gluten-free beer, and it made my whole day. I was like, yes, like I can have beer. And it was so good. But you know what I did?
We have a few of those here.
Yeah, you know what I did have this weekend?
What?
An Angry Orchard. It's been a while since I've had one of those. And I feel like it satisfied
my beer
craving.
It's like the apple cider drink, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Not too sweet. Yeah. It like satisfied my beer craving, but I'm jealous because I do love beer more than wine. So,
If you ever come here, I'll give you some of because I don't need the gluten-free, but occasionally I just like trying new beers. So there's one by, I think it's Whistler Brewing, which is a place that we vacation at here. Yeah. They have a good one. I think it's called Forager, but it's gluten-free.
Really? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely some out there. I really need to like just experiment and like find the gluten-free beer and see which one I like. But it's just a bummer. You can't really get them like if you're out. You know, like if you're out at a bar or a restaurant, it's very rare if they have gluten-free beer. Anyway, I love the name of that one. I love when they have great names. Brilliant marketing.
It's a good thing. You know, I like yes, it is. I love the theming. You know that, right? Yeah. So I love that. I like no matter what I'm feeling like or reading, whatever, I can always find a themed beer that goes along with it. And it just so happens that this one is like a local brand and one that I drink.
Love it.
Every now and again. Enough that it lives in my fridge fairly often.
Yeah. Spot on for Nesta. So, Nessie in there.
Yeah. Speaking of filthy dirty, I mean, we have stepped it up with this book, eh? Like, not only remember when we were recording about Farah and Reese, and I was like so annoyed that it would just say, like, I mean, we still got in this book Apex of My Thighs, we still got that line, but we would always get Farah just like thinking like that she sent Reese a dirty gesture or a vulgar gesture.
We're like, what is the gesture?
I was like, what is it? Tell us. But at least in this one, I mean, the language is way more intense. Hence the cursing, and then we get Cassian is like flipping Reese off, so at least we know what the gesture is. And then the steam, whoo! We didn't get anything this intense with Feyre and Reese. Maybe like one scene,
right?
But
yeah, what's funny?
I mean, in this one, we got like
it's always the quiet one, you know. I feel like Nesta.
Wait for Elaine's story then.
That's what I mean. I feel like Elaine is going to be even, you know, but like, it was just funny because I wasn't expecting that of Nesta. And then I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Especially that one scene you sent me that screenshot of earlier today. You were like, I forgot this in that book. I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Where she has a little daydream about, being in between Az and Cass.
Yeah. I
mean, and you know, that's actually apparently a deleted scene.
Yeah. Really?
But that is apparently a deleted scene. Apparently she wrote it and it was too much for editors, publishers, whoever. So it was taken from the final draft.
Well,
but it exists.
Get yours, Nesta. You know?
girl. And actually, there's a bit of a theory about that it's sort of, you know, how we discussed, you know, whether Lucien is really going to be Elaine's mate or, you know, because it sort of seems like she's drawn to Az. Mm-hmm. But like, if your sister had slept with him, that's kind of like a bit weird if that ended up being your partner. Like, that's really like,
that's true.
You know, it's that's the forbidden love trope, but like not just like your best friend's brother or something. Like if your sister had a threesome with this girl and then you're like, that was my sister. That's kind of weird. Anyway, people are like using it as a piece of evidence that Az and Elaine won't be together in the end.
Won't be.
Interesting. No, because if Sarah J. Maas had written, it didn't make it to the book, so she could go back on it. But she had initially written a threesome scene between Az and Nesta and Cass. It'd be weird if, like, you know, you go with the dude who's been with her sister.
True. I still think Elaine and Tamlin would be a good fit. That's going to be my prediction.
I think Elaine in the spring court would be a good fit.
Yes.
I actually have a little bit of, like, we talked a little bit last time about how the revelation, or how Feyre at least thinks that Lucien is Helion's son. And I was saying, like, day court, like, next to spring court, the day court's probably, like, the next best place for Elaine, just in, like, how she is and bright and beauty and flowers and la, la, la. La, la, la. That's Elaine. So if Lucien ended up being Helion's mate, then that would be a good place for Elaine, right?
Yes.
However, there's a line in this book also where it says they're speculating about, you know, who's the heir, how the magic chooses the heir to a High Lord. And it isn't always like the oldest son. Sometimes it even skips to entire new bloodlines. So I was like, okay, so if something happened to Tamlin and he has no heirs at all, maybe the magic chooses Lucien. As High Lord of the Spring Court. And then Elaine would be in the Spring Court are mates in the end. So that could work.
It could work.
Mm-hmm. There's even one little thing, one little bit where, you know, when Cassian gets really mad, when he's with Lucien, Jurien, and Vasa in the manor that they're staying in the Human Lands, and he's just starts fuming. And it's Lucien who calms him. And there's a line where it says, hold on, let me grab it here. Lucien says, easy. Easy, Lucien repeated, and flame sizzled in his russet eye. The flame, the surprising dominance within it, hit Cassian like a stone to the head, knocking him from his need to kill and kill and kill whatever might threaten. So remember, like, the signs, like,
I would love for him to.
Yeah, it's like that power.
So
it's like when Rhys gives a command to Cassian and he kind of like feels like he has to follow it, right? It's that dominance that the High Lords have. So that seems like a little more than just like the seventh son of a High Lord could do.
We just basically need her to hurry up and get going so that we have the answers. But in the meantime, do you want to summarize? You wrote the best summary of A Court of, what is it? Frost and Starlight.
Frost and Starlight.
I was like, wait, it's right here next to me. You know what? I did have a page mark on this. So we're not going to really, we decided we're not going to super really give this much of a chat because why?
It's short first. It's a novella. So we could do like a 30-minute episode. But I feel like we can sum it up in like a line or two.
Oh, you know what page I marked? Naturally, I marked the scene. The sex scene. Of course
I did. Oh, of course you did.
Yeah. That's one pretty good one in there.
So like I feel like it's worth reading.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's the lightest hearted maybe of all the books. It's like it's a novella, so it's short to read. It's like the holiday special.
Like the Hallmark version.
Almost.
Not as happy ending.
But. Not everybody gets happy in the end, but not everybody gets a happy ending. but basically you could summarize it saying it's winter solstice. This is the crossover book between Faesand's story, so Feyre and Rhysand, and then Nesta's story coming up in this book 5. So it kind of goes between them as point of views to bridge us over. And basically in one line, it's winter solstice. No one gets Nesta anything. She's sad. She's mean to Cassian, who did have a present for her. And he throws it in the river.
Yes.
The end.
The end. That's it. That's all you need to know if you didn't read it. It's just a quick little, I mean, listen, I'm happy to take anything she's going to put out there. So, you know, but yes, that's essentially the gist. And then we move on to A Court of Silver.
Here. And it does tell us a little bit, because remember at the end of Akawar, there was that scene where Cassian and Nestor were being threatened by the king. And he said that beautiful line about, like, you know, what the only thing I regret is that I didn't have time with you.
Yes.
And she, like, throws herself on him that she can't leave him, even if it means dying herself. Well, Frost and Starlight turns that on its head, and suddenly there's all this space between them again. Yes. And now when we pick up in this book, it's like months and months later. It's like fall. So that was winter solstice, aka mm-hmm. Christmas time of year. And now we're in fall.
Yes. So lots and of time has gone by.
She's ignoring everybody. Nesta. She just basically hates herself and is torturing herself in any way she can. So she's living in like a hovel, as much as Valaris mm-hmm. has a hovel. She's like drinking herself to stupor every day. She's sleeping with anyone who will have her.
Right.
And she basically spends every night like in taverns and music halls.
Yes. Yes. Because she likes the music a lot.
She does like the music. Yes. That one thing gives her joy. But the other things, basically, she's just trying to like quiet this like rage and self-hate that she has inside her.
Yes.
We know, remember before she couldn't take baths because like going in a right. bath reminded her of going in yes. the cauldron. So she's forced herself to conquer that. She yes, can bathe she now.
Yeah.
But she can't stand the sound of logs cracking in the fire because mm-hmm. it reminds her of the
yeah.
sound.
Yeah.
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 And she's been staying away from everyone, even yeah. Elaine.
Even Elaine. It's so interesting because we see such classic signs of depression and PTSD, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
With her and even anxiety. And I think this book, out of all of them, I could relate to this book the most because there was such a huge mm-hmm. mental health piece of it that yeah. I was in tears at the end because yeah. it just her having to overcome everything that she's went through that's put her in this state of mind, right? And this, or not state of mind, but you know what I'm saying? Like this,
yeah, state of being.
Right. Mentally, it's just, yeah, you know, it's like the end. You're just rooting for her the whole time, right? Like you're like, yeah, I just yeah. want you to get better. Just want you to get better, you know? And yeah.
like we had a taste of that with Feyre, right? When she had yeah. the depression, when she was wasting away in Tamlin's court. But this is just like amps that up, right? Mm-hmm. So there's
so much so. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's depressed and all this, like many signs of true clinical depression. Mm-hmm. She's definitely traumatized. I mean, she was turned against her will, which is basically yeah. like extreme body modification by yes. force, right? Like, remember there's that one night where she has a dream and she loses control of her power and like resenses it. So he like busts in there and like uses his power to smother hers. But then he enters her head. And so he sees yeah. the dream and he is shook. Like yeah. he is like literally shaking. His hands are shaking. And he's like, I knew she had trauma, but I didn't know it went that deep.
Yeah.
I think it gave him a little bit of a more sign for what she'd been going through.
Yeah, because he really did not. He was not happy with Nesta in the beginning of the book. And no. it seems to be causing a little bit of an issue between him yeah. and Feyre. They seem to kind of have some arguments about.
They do.
Yes, because she had that huge bill from the bar, right? That yeah, she that's what put on their with. Card or whatever. And, you know, and Feyre is just trying really hard to, you know, okay, like give it time. You
yeah.
know, and then.
Yeah, they're trying to give her time to get through it, but it's not yeah. really, the time hasn't done anything.
Right.
And then the big blow up when she tells Feyre about how the baby's birth will kill her.
Yes.
And because everybody's been keeping that from her. And right. Nesta's so mad that they almost kept the information that she had made objects, like mm-hmm. made a new trove, essentially, when she yeah. Made those swords and stuff. So Feyre and Cassian see it as like she's trying to avenge both of them for the secrets that had been kept from them. Rhys sees that differently. He thinks she did it to like hurt Feyre yeah. or him or to like be malicious, but Feyre doesn't see it like that. So I think Feyre is always seeing kind of trying to see the better side of her.
Yeah.
And Rhys is thinking the worst. Like there's that other time where he goes up when she's just started to train with Gwyn has just joined them for training. And then Emery comes and Rhys like enters Nesta's mind and is like, you will treat Gwyn with respect and kindness. And she's mm-hmm. like, fuck off. Like yeah. I have been doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he just assumed she wouldn't.
Yes, I think, right. I think Feyre deep down knows that this is not the version of her sister I mean, granted, they've had a rough go from the beginning, but mm-hmm. I think she knows that this is not the real Nesta and still wants
Nesta
to,
could be.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's not the best version of herself. Whereas Rhys doesn't really know her, right? Because mm-hmm. his initial impression is that she allowed Feyre to go and hunt alone and did nothing to help and blah, 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 right? So he's just mm-hmm. kind of knowing what Feyre told him and also what he kind of assumed based yeah. on the information he knows, right? So
yes.
Yeah, it's, yeah, so he does not, and it does make me upset for her because she needs, even though she doesn't want anyone to give her support, she does mm-hmm. need support, right? And he's just, he's kind of a dick. So
yeah, he is. And it doesn't bother her as much him being a dick because they've never really, it's not like it changed. Whereas her relationship with Amryn, like she saw them as close and then they had this fight. We know that they were on a boat in the summer and they had harsh words where essentially Amryn told her to, like, you know, that she was wasting her life and to yep. snap out of it and she needs to understand her power and respect it. And they haven't talked since. And so when she found out that Amryn voted against her finding out that she had made objects, that's what really gets her mad. Not so much yes. Rhys, but Amryn. She feels betrayed. And that's the one that takes the longest, I think, in this book. It's right towards the very end that they finally mend that.
Yes. And naturally, because Amryn kind of took her under her wing, mm-hmm. you know, in the past. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just interesting because you kind of, again, you can kind of see things from both sides in this book with Nesta, right? So,
yeah.
And I don't know. It just, I just feel for her because she's just broken. I mean, even from, I'm looking at your notes here that you have, but like, this is what I was just thinking. Even going back from the start, she was abused. Her ex clearly assaulted her in some way. We don't know the full details.
Yeah, Nesta remembers at one point. Yeah, she says at one point that he tried to take what she hadn't offered, and then she like remembers the scene in her head where he's like pushing up her dress and undoing his pants, and that she basically just like let herself go still.
Yeah,
and then when he got close enough, she like bit his ear and ripped.
Yes, yes.
So she got herself away, but yeah.
Yeah, she's got, she just has there's a lot of pain there from the past too. So she's very broken. But I do love that, you know, they essentially give her this ultimatum. It's you're going to go and you're going to live here. You can't get out unless you want to go down, 10,000 steps. And that's it. You're going to train and the end. I love that she kind of makes friends with the house, though.
Oh my gosh!
I love that the house.
I want to live in that house.
Me too. The house like knows, like the house also loves romance books, right? So it's always like giving her a book. I also love that. I think it learns, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't it learn that she does not like the fire? Right?
Like, yeah, she tells it like not to do the fire, and it learns that, and then uses like other magic to warm her room.
Yes.
Yeah. It, she like initially when she's banished there, she calls it like this hateful, horrible place, but then she just starts talking with it. And it's like at one point, Cassian is like, I need to talk to Rhys and see, like, he didn't realize, they all knew the house was magic, but didn't know it was sentient magic, which is different. And Amryn says one thing to Nesta towards the end where she's like, you made the house. Like, she says, what did you wish for when you first got here? And Nesta says, I wished for a friend. And so she says that you kind of made it that with your power. I was actually wondering a bit like before we get that reveal, and who knows, that's just Amryn's theory, it could be wrong, but they talk about all the other made objects in the world and how there used to be many, but then there was only these three still known, the mask, the harp, and the crown. But Amryn talks about that there were more, and then there was another one that was maybe unmade. And at first I was like, well, maybe the house is an object, or there's something in the house that is made. And that's why, because they always say the whole like calls to like.
Right.
Right. And so that maybe that's why it welcomed Nesta like it never had done to anybody else who had lived there, because she is that. Although Elaine lived there too before, and Nesta lived there too before, and they didn't see it that way. So I think this thing with Amryn saying that she made it when she came this time, it does make sense.
Yeah, I just love that. And then you have here the girls' sleepover at the house.
Oh, it's so fun.
I loved that.
They're like,
I just love her friendship with Gwen and Emery so much.
Yes. And so I think that's one of the things I liked better about this book, too, is that not only was Nesta's trauma, I don't want to say it's deeper because Pharaoh is pretty broken, but it's explored more in depth.
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah.
And then, you know, in the other book we talked about Pharaoh getting friends for the first time in like Lucien and Moore and the Bat Boys. But this sort of sisterhood.
Yes.
Like this. We don't really get that until now. And I really love it.
They're all broken in some way. Like they all have painful pasts, mm-hmm. things that have happened. I love the sleepover. I love how she makes them, mm-hmm. the friendship bracelets, and just all, it just like, it was heartwarming to read, you know, that these three really amazing women come together to train and how that training just helps heal them in a way, right? Like, it really just, that was probably my favorite part about this.
Yeah. Book. Like, if they hadn't come together and bonded in that way, would they all have gotten to the point they are at the end of the book? You know, like, they're not like fixed, right?
No.
Like, Gwen still lives in the library. You know, there's still going to be a process, which I'm sure we'll find out more about in later books. But they work through it together. Like, there's that moment when they're in the blood rite and they all finally, like, tell each other kind of their fullest story. And each of them is afraid that, like, they're at fault for what happened to them and that they made, like, a bad choice. Like, Gwen blames herself for her sister dying and Nesta blames herself for everything, but especially like her father dying, you know. It takes them saying to each other, like, no, if you don't believe that I'm terrible for what happened to me, how can you believe that you're terrible for what happened to you?
Right. And sometimes you just need that friend to do that. There's just so much healing in this book that I feel we see more than in the other books. Like you said, it's explored more. We walk through the healing more. That's essentially what this whole book is about, her healing. Yeah, wouldn't you say?
I would.
Yeah.
Speaking of Moore and the girls, there's that one line where I'm like, ooh, Emery has a crush on Moore.
Mm-hmm. I know. Like, I'm really hoping.
I was like, that could be fun in the future.
I know. I'm really hoping. Right. Because we chatted about that last time and how Moore has kind of kept her true, you know,
sexual identity.
Yes. To herself, with the exception of telling Pharaoh. So I know. I was like, ooh, maybe more.
Yeah.
I'm going to ship them.
I would like it too. Right. And there's also one line, I hope this happens for Emery too, where Nesta thinks like Theseus is the High Lord of Dawn and his power is healing. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if he could do something for Emery's wings.
And explain for those maybe who don't remember what happened with her wings.
So the stupid Illyrians are very backwards, sexist buttholes. and they clip the females' wings. Mm-hmm. So just clip them so that they like essentially destroy some of the muscles and nerves in there so they can't fly with them. Their asses. And Rhys has made it illegal and they try to enforce that, but Emery's happened while Rhys was under the mountain. And so a lot of things slipped through the cracks. And her father did it himself. So when it was done, like before, as a practice, it was done by healers. So they did it in a way that the wings wouldn't function, but I guess wouldn't be so like painful in an ongoing way. But hers are so bad, like she can't even hardly open one of them.
Well, so sad.
Because her terrible father. So yeah, that could be an interesting direction for her.
Yeah.
And I think there's we'll a little, more. I think so too. And there's also a little twinge between her and Azriel. Like when they're training and stuff, she's like a little bit flirty with him, actually. So that could be interesting to see where that goes.
With Emery?
With Gwen.
Oh, I thought you meant Emery. Yes. Gwen.
The other friend. Yeah.
Yes. The other friend. Yes. Yes. I know. So I'm interested to see. That's what I mean. Az could go two ways here. So I can't wait to get his
can go through it.
Story. Oh, well, you know what? That reminds me, though, the deleted scene you sent. Yes.
Yes. So
that the link to that in the show notes for those who maybe haven't read it. I did read that right after.
It's like an extra chapter, extra epilogue scene. It's about Az primarily. There's a bit with Elaine and a bit with Gwyn. And it's interesting. And it's very much like setting up like he's torn between the two of them.
Yeah.
So we'll put that link in the show notes as well.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a read. It's interesting. So I don't know. I can't wait to see which way that goes. But I love Gwyn. And I just love their whole, the Valkyries. Right? They're just like, yes, this is what we're doing. They're in it. We're doing it together. And I just love this like girlhood that they have and fighting to be these total badasses. Right?
Yes.
Like these incredible.
Do you want to say like who the Valkyries were?
Do you have this written here in your notes? You might want to tell.
They were warriors, kind of like the Illyrians, not flighted, but.
Right. And they're studying them
like
in the
women
library,
warriors.
Right?
Yeah, so the priestess that Gwyneth works for, so it's very interesting, actually, because I don't think that this information is in there for nothing. But when Meryl, who is like descended from like the Lord of the Wind or something, she's like ungodly beautiful and has this like wind power. When she first came to the library, she was looking at the existence of different realms and how there could be many realms overlapping but separated by like time. Some people theorize that there was 11. Some people say 26, which is the same number as there are strings on the harp, we find out later. That's in there, and I don't think it's a throwaway, so I think that's going to come back again, that Meryl was kind of like studying this and maybe an expert in it. Now, however, she's studying the Valkyries. So they were fey, they were female warriors. They died out after the last war, like the 500 years ago war. Like most of them died defending a certain area, and then the last few died out shortly after that. So Nesta suggests partway through their training, because Gwyn knows a lot about the Valkyries and is kind of telling the other two girls about them, and they're learning some of their techniques, like for mind stilling, like meditation.
Yes.
And so Nesta suggests that maybe they should combine Illyrian and Valkyrie techniques in their training and be like the rebirth of the Valkyries. And something like happens, like there's like a shift in the world where like Az even like looks over, and Nesta thinks it's as if she'd spoken some great truth, something that made fate sit up. So like something happens there, and it's significant. So essentially these girls are recreating the Valkyries. So they combine the different training techniques. So Valkyries have three stages: novice, blade, and Valkyrie, which is what the first three parts in this book are named after. And then there's a lovely gift from Gwyn to the other two girls later, where she gives them a chapter. Oh, I meant to look at that. I think it's chapter 41, and I meant to compare it to chapter 41 in here to see if there was like, if that was an Easter eggy kind of thing for something.
Oh.
I know there's a good sex scene in 41, but I can't remember what else happens. I have those all indexed, you know.
All the sex scenes indexed.
But Gwyn writes a chapter about them recreating the Valkyries, so about their training, etc. It's lovely. And they have that wonderful line where they use it to like still themselves and to ground themselves and sort of be comfortable in their own power, where they say, "I am the rock against which the surf crashes." And then they add later, "Nothing can break me, nothing can break us."
I think what I love, first off, I love that line. I feel like that should be a tattoo somewhere.
Don't you? It probably is.
It probably is. Maybe I'll get that. What I love, though, about the Valkyrie training is I felt like that training was so incredibly helpful in Nesta's healing. Wouldn't you say? Like all of the, again, like the mind, because she ends up throughout the book, she utilizes a lot of that training in her own like private moments, right?
Yes, she does. And she uses it to still herself.
Yes.
She uses it like to plant herself when she's going to fight. And I think it's like Cassian, you know, the love languages, like his for sure is like physical affection. And I think hers is too, as much as she fights it, but she likes, they both have this thing where they need to burn off energy.
Yes.
And I think that it helps her with that too, because she's like put such a tight, like reins on herself. She's been like trying to choke down this magic, this power since she got it. She doesn't want to unleash herself, as Sarah J. Maas is fond of saying about other people. They unleash themselves upon the world. Yeah. But she's just like holding herself so tight, but she's just like bottled up and ready to explode at any given minute, right? So getting something where she can work that out physically, it's hugely beneficial for her, I think.
Yes. Yes. For sure.
And like with the other priestesses too, just knowing that they have a way that they can defend themselves makes them feel powerful, and like what happened to them before won't happen to them again. So yeah, it helps them all in that way.
And I love that. I love that. That's what I mean. There's just so many things in this book that I loved so much. I loved that that is empowering them to feel confident and strong and powerful, but also more in control of their minds, right? Like their minds, yes, their body, their soul. Like it's like a whole, there's just like a whole, like I the training in general, I just loved.
It's like multifaceted, right? It's like mind,
that's
body.
The word. Exactly. Yes. And I just loved that. And
do you
I
want to, what's oh, that? Sorry, go ahead.
No, go I ahead. Was going to talk about the stairs. I loved how.
Ah, yes.
Nesta, like, so that those 10,000 steps are like just like a thorn in her side, right? She tries all the time to make it down those stairs. Yes. And I think that's also a way for her to just kind of blow off some steam, right, from the day, mm-hmm, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm. And then there's that one part where she falls, right? And
oh, then, my gosh.
Who helps her? Is it Cassian?
Well, sort of, kind of, but for she helps herself because she reaches out and she literally like digs her fingers.
Yes.
Like melts the stone.
Melts the stone.
And stops her fall. And those like fingerprints or finger like scratches are in the stone, melted in there later. Yes. Cassian finds them. But he's waiting at the top, I think. Or does he come down and get her? Maybe?
I don't recall. I mean, I guess, I think minor details, but
yeah.
And then there's that one time where she what remind me of the, because again, you just finished your reread again. So it's been a while since I read this, but remind me what happens right before when she finally makes it all the way down the stairs to the town.
So, well,
is that, so Feyre?
That's when when she's so, so mad. That's what gives her that extra drive to finally get all the way down and through the town and right into Amryn's loft where she is riding Varian.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And then, but then she does actually make it again at the end when she's not driven by fury. She makes it again just to prove it to herself, and she gets to the bottom and she's like, all right. And she just goes back up.
And goes back up. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I love how it's like this, and you put a quote up here too. You said the dedication for every Nesta out there, climb the mountain. That's the dedication of the book.
The whole book at the start.
And I just feel like that's so, again, there's so much in that statement because that is, I feel like the stairs represent a mountain, right? Climbing back up. Do you know what I mean? And then again, at the end with the blood rite and everything. But she just, I feel like her anger and her, like, again, gives her
fuel,
right? Especially with the stairs and just in so many other situations. I mean, I would imagine it would be very hard to have all of that power that you have to, you know, kind of contain.
So
we just see so many different parts of that. And then also the ribbon cutting.
Oh, yeah. That's like their other test, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't seem that hard at first, but then you think about it, like if there's a dangling ribbon and like how fast and strong and sharp your blade would have to be to cut it versus just kind of push it through the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's like their last test before they call themselves Valkyrie. Yeah. And I love that it isn't actually Nesta who does it first.
Right. Right.
You know, it's Gwyn and then Emery and then Nesta, but all in the same session.
I love that they cheer each other on. They're just, it's just a great, that's what I mean. I feel like the whole, but that whole training is just so good in so many ways. I feel like I bounced around a lot with my point, but you get what I mean.
That's okay. I get what you mean. And I think let's do a little teaser right now. If you stick through the rest of this podcast, we have a little surprise for you that has to do with Valkyrie training.
We do.
Keep listening.
Later.
Yep.
So let's talk. Let's talk the spice.
Let's talk spice.
This
There's
book
so many good
spice.
so like Fiery Heart on our scale for sure. And it's, you know, it's funny because it starts off with so much just like they have that banter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, almost always when people have that good, sharp banter, it's like sexual tension.
Oh, for sure. Well, we know there's
innuendos are flying.
There's already been, I mean, they kissed back when he was like brutally wounded, right? Mm-hmm. She throws herself on top of him. So we know that there's, you know, there's stuff there. So it's like stuff happened and then nothing happened for 2 years.
Nothing happened. She like pushes him away because she doesn't feel that she deserves him is what we find out later. She thinks he thinks it's like that he doesn't deserve her, that he's like, you know, Lord of Bastards and a brute and all this stuff. But she is actually thinking that she's the undeserving one and doesn't deserve to be loved or deserve him. But we have, so we have the banter, we have the tension. There's little bits of romance where they like say things to each other that are so lovely. Even before their first kiss in this book, you know, Cassian says something to her about, because people are afraid of her, afraid of her power. And he says to her, "Your power is a song. And when I've waited a very long time to hear, Nesta." So sweet. And that echoing that song thing. And we already said, you already said that music brings joy to Nesta. It's one of like, her few great pleasures. And later on, Nesta thinks it was music between their souls, always had been, and his voice was her favorite melody.
Love it.
It's just lovely. So we get like the first time they finally break into this tension, they like, it's just devouring. They essentially like kiss and just start making out, and she like makes him come in his pants. and then he like then leaves. And so then the next thing is he gets her and he's like, you know, I have a debt to pay you back for. And so he goes down on her. Then that happens again. She gets a couple of turns before they finally halfway through.
There's
the book,
a lot of back and forth there.
It's like a lot of different sexual acts in this, I feel like. Like even when they're described, it's like different positions, different, well, acts, really. They're all different, you know. He's on her, she's on him. But they're not, it's not always like they do this and then they have sex. They do this and then they have sex. It's like sometimes they just make out and like do a little something. I just like that build that we're given here. And so the finally when they give into it, it's amazing. And then we get various scenes after that, like the one where he's like, put your hands on the headboard.
You know, I'm trying to find that page, but I'm not seeing it on 433.
Oh, you know what? I wonder if we have different copies. So I marked all the pages from my copy. It's in chapter.
Is it the one where he...
Chapter 41. Ha! That's chapter 41.
There you go. Look at that.
I knew there was something good in there.
Oh, man. I am in that one. That's where, like, he comes back to her, right? And she's like, what did she say? Oh, she was like, was it not good enough for you? Now she's like worried, right? That like,
because
good.
Because he hasn't, they haven't slept, like they've been fucking, but they haven't been sleeping together. Like they always just do it and then go their separate ways. And then there was a bit of time that passed. And she's like, why haven't you been seeking me out? Like,
right. She's like, hey, now, why aren't you coming to my room? Come to my
and he's like wants nothing more than to do it, but he doesn't want to be too demanding of her. Then they talk about how they've been touching themselves, thinking of each other, and then she directs him with what to do. Ooh, that's a good scene. It's like seven, eight pages long.
It is very and there's just a lot of lots of talk.
There's talk that would make you blush if you weren't us.
My goodness.
You gotta be careful who you tell to read this book.
Very much so.
Don't tell your grandma to read this book.
I mean, you know what? My grandma probably would have read this book.
Oh, really? I love that.
She probably did. God rest her soul. I mean, she was
love it.
But yes, there's very, you know what I love? Nesta has zero shame in demanding what she wants.
Yes.
Right? Wouldn't you say?
Yes. Yes. And
just
speaking
like,
it.
Come at me. You know? Like, this is what I want and this is what you better give me.
It reminds me a bit of, what's the other book we read recently that had really, was it in The Do-Over maybe? Where, you know, he's really explicit. And she surprises herself how much she likes it when he uses that language and stuff. And so I don't know if Nessa's surprised so much as happy and gives into it because it's what she wants as well. But like when he uses like the C word and she's like, gets her hot. Yeah. Like it's not derogatory at all.
Oh, here it is. I see. It's actually page 439. Put your hands on the headboard.
Isn't that funny that yours is different from mine? Oh, you know what? I think the scene starts on page 433.
Oh, well, it does. Yes, you are correct.
Literally, so there you go. It's like seven pages.
Literally all of chapter 41, because again, the end of chapter 41 says, hold on tight. Like, and then it's chapter 42. So yes, I mean, there's lots of... I feel like I was reading this book and like looking around to be like, who's watching me read this right now? Yeah, like, honestly, I feel like it was spicier than, honestly, I feel like it's spicier than The Miles High. Wouldn't you say? I feel like it is.
This well, I might need to do a side-by-side comparison.
I was just going to say. Really, I feel
or
like...
Or a line from Nesta there.
Line-by-line comparison. I mean, I just feel like there's a lot... I don't know.
There is a lot. And there's a lot of scenes too. And some of them are short-ish, or they're just one or the other of them remembering like the previous night or a previous day.
Okay.
So some
of
the ones we get are not like in present, but they're like remembrances. But a bunch of them are in like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, at least 9 are like actual encounters. I feel like that's a lot. Like books don't always have, unless it's just really a smut book, like without a lot of plot stuff happening.
Right, but this could get both.
It's both.
Oh, hold on to the desk. So, there's another scene.
Yeah. It'll
hold on a lot.
Well, I mean, he's strong.
Hey, but that's what I mean. I mean, the dirt, like, it's just so interesting because it's like, again, reading the other ones, that's, I think when I messaged you, I was like, wow, the language in this book went, it is like night and day difference. It is.
Stepped it up.
I mean, she like... Wow. But I guess that is them. They're both very powerful, feisty. So, I mean, you know, I guess.
Not. And I like that because this book is about different characters, like their POVs. It actually feels different from the first three, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's influenced by whose POV we're getting. And so it is a lot more like you could say crass or just blunt.
Very much so. Yes.
But that's just who we're dealing with. And they're the perfect ones for each other. Speaking of which, how about that night? It's the first night that they actually like go to sleep together after. And that is the night that she is like totally in tears.
Yes. Yes.
And they end up like more lovemaking than before. And we actually get the description of the mating bond forming. So the golden threads that kind of go from one to the other to one to the other.
Yep. I'm going to that right
it's
now.
Really, really
you have
beautiful.
All these pages marked down. Yes. I do. Yeah. I really liked that scene.
Yeah. So she does that dance with Eris.
Oh, here we go.
And he offers for her hand and she's saying to Cassian, like, I deserve him. I don't deserve you.
He's crying.
Why do you think she's crying because she lets out a low broken laugh. Why do you think I shoved you away? Why do you think I wouldn't speak to you?
Yeah.
After my father died, after I failed in so many ways, denying myself of you, it was my punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you understand that? From the moment I met you, I wanted you more than reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he holds her. He's crying. She's crying. And he says, there will be no one else for either of us. She says, yes. He says, ever. She says, ever. And then they do it and we get the thread after thread of pure golden light. Where those threads wove together, life glowed like starfire, and she had never seen anything more beautiful, felt anything more beautiful. And they're both still crying.
Yeah.
And they say, like, I am yours forever, forever.
Oh, love it.
And you would think it would be all good after that. But
no.
Nope.
No, because we're at that. No, we're at that point. There's still this much to go. We're at the third act breakup part. You know, you're like, oh, it should end there. It's not gonna. There's still lots of chapters to go. You know, things are still gonna happen.
Because even then, they don't use the word mate, right? And it takes until quite a bit later that Cassian like has it out with her. He's like, you are my mate. Like, why can't you say it? And she says, basically, it's because that is like the one last shred of her humanity. Like humans do, like, you know, love and marriage, commitment, but they don't have mates, they don't have mating bonds. So she feels like by voicing it, she's letting go of that last bit of, like, her human self.
Yes.
So she doesn't use it, and then she gets whisked away to the right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I actually, this is chapter 72. I loved this part, and this is the first time she does use it, right?
When she does, yes.
Yes.
Do you want to read that line?
Yes. It's after, so she's, she's by herself and she's with, is it Bellius? Yep.
So Bellius, so Emery's cousin. So the other two girls have gone up to summit and she's holding the pass.
Yes.
And it's down to just her and Bellius.
Right. Cause she pushed them to go forward, right? Without her.
She made them go without her. Yep. And she said she would hold it.
Yes.
Yes. She did really well. She fought against all the guys that were with him. She defended the pass of an alias.
Yes.
And then it's just him left. And then he disarms her.
And he says, "You really think you can beat me in hand-to-hand combat?" And she's like, "I do." And then she's like, "Because my mate taught me well." And I love that. It's just like, hell yeah, girl, you kick his ass. You know what I mean? Like, I just loved it. Yes. And then the next part, mate. You know, yeah. And the word was a shooting star through Nesta as she and Bellius launched at each other, punching, kicking, and dodging. And as if voicing the word had given her this final surge of strength. And I just, I loved it. I love that. Yeah. She gives in. And then, she says that. And now I'm going to slit your pretty little throat. Oh, no, that was him.
No, that's Cassian.
That's Cassian. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, because Cassian shows up because he's being controlled. He gets winnowed by Koschei with Briallen. It's a whole, like, convoluted thing, but Briallen has been trying this whole time to get back at Nesta because Nesta took the power from the cauldron.
Yes.
And then Briallen was the next one of the human queens that wanted to be made fey, but the cauldron was so mad it made her fey, but it also made her like a withered crone, and she's so bitter that, like, her objective this whole book has been to get power and to get even with Nesta. So having controlling Cassian and making him kill Nesta, she thinks is amazing, because then not only will Nesta be dead, but Cassian will have to live with having killed his mate for the rest of his existence. But Cassian fights against it. Like, he's able to, he's so strong, and his love for Nesta is so strong that he twists what Briallen is making him do and tries to kill himself instead.
Right.
And that sends Nesta over the edge, and she basically, like, explodes onto Briallen and turns her to ash.
Ash. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was such a good conclusion.
It really is. Yeah. I just, oh, I'm telling you, I could read, I feel like, again, I'm going to say it again. I would just love to see this on film. But again, I don't know would. I'm afraid they wouldn't do it justice. I don't know if they could do it
good. Yes. So you know the part
in
the
blog? My head rent-free, you know?
Yeah, I love that expression. You know when they go to the bog, her and Azen Cass, they go to get the, because she does the scrying and knows that the mask is there. And they go there, but there's the bewitched soldiers of Aerys's that Briallen has sent. So they are occupying Azen Cass, and Nesta gets taken by a kelpie, which just sounds like a terrifying
that
creature.
Whole scene, right? Like under the water, right?
Yeah, it gets pulled under the water, and it, like, keeps her alive by blowing rank, disgusting air into her mouth underwater.
He's like to
keep her alive. Yeah, he's making out with her. It tastes like dead meat.
Yeah.
But she basically summons the mask underwater and then there's tons of dead bodies everywhere under the bog because it used to be like a burial ground to put people in the water, and she summons them all against the kelpie defeats the kelpie. But that scene where she rises out of the water at the end, like towards Azen Cass, like you could just see that, like imagine seeing that on screen where it's like the dead soldiers, they rise up and then they bow and then she rises up straight out of the water, like there's nothing, like she's just being pushed up.
Do you know what page that's on? Did you have that in your notes? So page actually 3370 is the page. Okay. We just found that for you guys if you want to refer back to that part. But yes, that's where they see it. They're calling her name, right? They can't.
Yep. They can't see her. She's underwater.
See her. Yes. And then Az says, "Holy gods." He says, "Mother, save us." A line of them, a lesion, some mere collections of upright bones. They rose from the water, standing in the shallows near the thorny island. And as that golden light broke the surface before them, the dead knelt. Every word empty from Cassian's head as Nesta, too, emerged from the water as if lifted on a pillar from beneath. A golden mask sat upon her face, primitive but embossed with whorls and patterns so ancient they lost all meaning. And yet the Kelpie's head dangled by its sheet of black hair. You know what
She's fond of that move, okay. Dangling a head.
I know, she is. I saw awesome fan art that, hold on, I'm going to Google. Nesta and the Kelpie. I feel like I saw amazing fan art that was, right here. So freaking spooky. Look at this. Hold on, wait. My phone's plugged
in. We'll have to put this link in the notes as well.
Can you see that?
Oh yeah.
Isn't that so freaking crazy? Like,
yeah.
It's just so nuts. Her with the golden mask on, uh-huh. Holding the Kelpie's head and the dead bowing. Like, yeah. Such a scene. Yes, I
it's a bit like in Lord of the Rings, which you never probably haven't seen because you never seen any movies. But there's a scene where Aragorn, you know, like the hero, beautiful man.
Don't know. Okay.
I'll send you.
People are probably
I'll send you the clip.
I know. I have never seen Lord of the Rings. Sorry, guys.
He commands the army of the dead to fight for him. And it's a pretty amazing visual. So it would be something like that.
Yeah.
You know what's the worst part of that whole bog scene for me?
What's that?
When she's like, Cassian leaves her up in that tree so he can go help Az fight against the bewitched soldiers. And when she's climbing down the tree, she keeps describing how the splinters are all driving under her nails.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's so terrible for me.
Yes. Oh. Terrible feeling.
Like, I can stand like beheading or like any of the really gross stuff, but like throw some splinters in her fingernails and I'm like done. Or like later when they're in the right and she throws that rope to Gwyn to catch her because they're going to cut the bridge. And then like has to catch her on this rope and then haul her up. And it describes how like, the rope just like shears through her palms and it's like all red from the blood of her palms. Like that just like.
I used to do CrossFit, and those who have done CrossFit probably also have had this happen. So I actually used to rope climb quite a bit, and it's that rope burn hurts so bad. I was thinking of that as I was reading that part. I was like, oh, I remember having like rope burn and blisters, and then I couldn't do anything that's why I stopped doing CrossFit, because I was tired of getting hurt. But anyway, yeah, anything.
When we watch Ninja, sometimes they describe like, and they show their hands, there's like all the blisters. Yeah. And there was one in the season that just ended. There was a scene where someone like held up their hand and like picked off this huge blister like in the middle of the course so he could keep going. I was so like, gross.
Yeah, can't do it. Ugh. But anyway, I feel like this Nesta and the Kelpie, this image is so badass. I mean, people have
we'll share that.
Yeah,
there's some great fan art out there.
So, this one too. Look at that. So bad.
That one might even be better.
I know. Ooh, isn't that so glowing. Cool?
Yeah. Hold on, I'm gonna,
it's a blog dedicated to Nesta, Urshuran, and Cassian.
Ooh.
I'll
Nessian? Is that our
I'll send you the link and maybe we can send
Nessian. And then we are yet to see if there's gonna be a what do they say? Elriel or Gwynriel?
Yes.
Or Eleusian.
Yes. Maybe. Now that we have talked all of them, and honestly, I feel like we only just like we could go so in depth in this book because there is so much there.
Uh-huh.
But from where we're at right now, rate your favorite. Like favorite to least favorite of the series. We did this last podcast too.
It's same. 5, 2, 3, 1, 4.
Mine would be the same. Yeah. It's I have a hard time because this and two are like so close, but I feel like all in all, this book just has such a deeper meaning for me because we see her whole healing process, and just it is a lot about mental health. I legitimately cried when I finished this book because just seeing her overcome everything that she's had to overcome and finally ending up happy because she hasn't been happy for so long.
Yeah. I connected with it too for that.
Yeah.
Do you remember the line when she makes up with Amarin in the end, it's Starfall. Mm-hmm. The Night of Starfall, and she apologized to Amarin, like actually like kneels and apologizes to her for not listening to her. And Amarin says, after Nesta talks about the darkness in her and all that, Amarin says, "That's the key, isn't it?
To know the darkness will always remain, but how you choose to face it, handle it, that's the important part. To not let it consume, to focus upon the good, the things that fill you with wonder. The struggle with that darkness is worth it just to see such things.
Yeah.
Because Nesta is like in tears because Starfall is so beautiful and she's so happy to be like alive and seeing it. She says the world was beautiful and she was so grateful to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before she was like not caring if she lived or died.
What page was that on?
The Amryn is 633.
Oh, 633.
And okay. It's 631 where Nesta is crying with the beauty.
Oh, you know what? Starfall. I have that marked down. That's funny.
Yeah.
I actually have that page marked down. And then she says, welcome back to the Night Court, Nesta Archeron. You know, yeah.
Yes.
That whole part. And I also loved the very last line of this book is, and Nesta smiled back, her steps light as she hurried down the hill to meet them. It's like she finally has found her place and has a relationship with her sisters that she's never had.
They've really? Never had. You're None right. They never have had. It ends with them visiting their father's grave and bringing baby Nyx to the father's grave. I love how the relationship by the end of Rhys and Nesta is so turned on its head. Like she's like, he won't stop giving me presents.
Yes.
Because right. she saved all three of them by pausing time. So I'm really surprised with all the healing that Fae healers can do and their bodies can do. Like Cassian was like, disemboweled, their wings were shredded, but they can't figure out a C-section.
I know. Let's talk about this whole scene too, right? Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. I was like, I don't understand here.
Yeah, like they specifically say that every attempt has ended in death, and I'm like, but you can like put someone's guts back in their body and close them up.
I don't get it at all. Like, I struggled with that too. So
they're magical fae uteruses. You just can't mess with the fae
uterus. I guess not. So yes. So what what it is, just as a reminder, is Rhys and Feyre were in winged form when they conceived the baby. And the baby has wings. And supposedly no one has been able to give birth to a baby with wings and survive it.
Unless they are Illyrian, because the Illyrian female has a different their pelvis is shaped differently.
Let's talk about this whole and how Nesta saves the day.
So she comes in there and it's Feyre is like bleeding to death and there's nothing that anyone can do, and their healer Maja is there, and she eventually just like cuts Feyre to take the baby out. But the baby's too small. Mora's holding it. It's not moving. And Nesta.
Oh, wait. And like, before we do that, we need to remind everyone of the bargain that Rhys and Feyre have from the last book.
The reason that it would kill all three of them.
Yes.
Is because they promised when Rhys almost died, you know, Feyre almost died, then Rhys. Well, Feyre did die and got brought back. Yes. Rhys did die and got brought back. And then they make a bargain that when it's time to go, they will go together. Yeah. And it's sealed like a magical seal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we know if one of them dies, the other will also die.
Yes.
So if Feyre dies during childbirth, then Rhys will die too.
And he says that to all of them in this book. He tells everyone the bargain.
He does. He doesn't reveal that piece for quite a while.
Yes, right.
They think it's just about Feyre for a long time.
Right.
But yeah, Nesta essentially like something clicks in her head and she's like, can't let this happen. Like Feyre has always loved me. And she goes and retrieves the three items from the Dread Trove, the mask, the harp, and the crown. And everyone has said like no one has ever wielded all three and lived through that power. But she does, and she plucks that 26th string on the harp, which freezes time essentially. So with everybody's frozen, she like puts her whole body onto Feyre, and she's like begging, she's having a conversation with the mother. So this is like, I mean, the creator of all things, it's like their goddess, right? She's having this conversation, she's been hearing this sweet voice that she can't identify like throughout the book. Like at times it's like the harp talks to her too, but this voice is talking to her and saying like, but look at all the magic you could do with all this stuff. And she said, no, like all she wants is to be able to fix, to heal her sister, to save them. And she says she will give back all the power that she took from the cauldron. If only, because she's like, she knows she has the power, but she doesn't know what to do.
how to wield it,
right,
to save them. So the mother teaches her, and when everybody like comes back into, you know, it's like that freeze frame, and then like everybody right. starts moving again,
right?
And they see there's just like golden light flowing into Feyre from Nesta, and then she wakes up and she remembers like over and over again, Feyre is saying, what she's saying, like, show me how to save them or something. And then she's saying, yeah. I love you. I love you.
Yeah. But what I loved, I have my book open to this part. The conversation is really so important because, you know, she walked through all of it through time to her sister, and the voice is whispering, do you see how it might be? What you might do? Nessa says, I feel nothing. Is that not what you wanted, to feel nothing? And then Nessa says, I thought that's what I wanted, but no longer. I want to feel everything. I want to embrace it with my whole heart. So this is all like a learning. Mm-hmm. Like this is, again, I feel like all part of Nessa's healing too, right?
Yeah.
And then the voice says, even the things that hurt and hunt you. And then she said, we need those things in order to appreciate the good. Some days might be more difficult than others, but I want to experience all of it, live through all of it with them. And the voice says, so live, Nesta Archeron. And that's just such a beautiful quote right there in general, right? Wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm. Like, I just loved that whole part because that's when, you know, like that's like her. I feel like that's the moment that it kind of all comes to a head for her, right? She's like, no, I know these days are going to be hard, but I want to be here for them.
Whereas before she was running away from things that could hurt her or others, or just trying to numb it.
Yes.
And then this is where she's like, no, I want to feel the bad stuff if it means I get to feel the good stuff.
Exactly. And she says that you love me when no one else would. You never stopped, even when I didn't deserve me. I didn't deserve it. You loved me and fought for me, you know, for Feyre. I love you. And right. And then she covers Feyre's body with her own. And let's see, she reached inward toward the power that had made deathless monsters tremble and wicked kings fall to their knees, but she didn't know how to use it. And then she asks, yes, if you show me how to save her, you can have it back.
Mm-hmm. And she keeps saying, I give it back. I give it back. Give it back.
Show me how to save them. Mm-hmm. Rhysand, her brother, you know, that's she's admitting that, yes, this is what he is to me. Show me. Right. And so, yes, I'll give it all back.
Yeah. And as there's like one final like explosion of light. And as it like goes out of the room, the mask and the crown like tumble from her head. And as that light fades, dark ink splashes upon Nesta's back, visible through her half-shredded shirt, as if it were a wave crashing upon the shore, a bargain with the cauldron itself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Really pretty.
And we do find out that she doesn't actually give all her power back. She tells Cassian that she has a shred of it still. So it'll be interesting to see later what that means, like what she'll still be able to do.
Yeah.
And she made sure to... She made sure to give herself the same. So Maja, after like Feyre comes to, it says Maja was suddenly leaning between her legs, inspecting what was there, the healing. If I didn't know better, I'd say you developed an Illyrian's anatomy. Because that's what she did, was she changed her so they could have more babies.
Yes, exactly.
And Nesta made those same changes to herself so that she would be able to have kids with Cassian.
Oh, is that what it says?
It says that, she says it to Cassian later. She tells him, it's like page 742. She said,
that's right.
I gave it back to the cauldron in exchange for the knowledge of how to save them, but a little remains. I think something else, someone else, stopped the cauldron from taking all of it. So the mother. Mm-hmm. And I made some changes of my own. The mother, the only being who would see the sacrifice Nesta had made and give a little back. Perhaps it was she who had peered out at them through the mask. What did you change? And then she touches her belly and said that she changed herself so that none of them will go through that again.
Yeah.
And then we find out that she wants like a disgustingly ornate mating ceremony, which was super surprising for me. Like that, I would expect that from Elaine, but not from Nesta. So I kind of love it.
Yeah.
She tries to feed Cassian food, like give him what, a cookie or something? Because she's like, that's what mates do, right? We feed each other. We all know the soup scene from Rhys and Feyre. She tries to feed him food to show that she's accepting the bond.
He says that. He's like, these are my two options, a frilly mating ceremony or a stale biscuit.
Oh, I love it. But so they have the frilly mating ceremony, Reese goes over the top because that's the bargain that Nesta makes with him.
Yeah.
So she's like, stop giving me gifts. Just give me a nice wedding and I'll be done.
Yes. So funny.
It's pretty. I think one of the gifts is she's like, throw pillows. And I'm just laughing thinking of like Reese giving her like a throw pillow. Like, thanks for saving my wife and child. Here's a pillow.
Here's a pillow. Oh, man. I do. I feel like this book, I mean, again, we clearly have, there's still so much more to know, but I was so happy with the ending of this book.
I was really happy with it too. And I think there's a lot of things in here. We could almost do a whole another episode about all the hints. And like, I have so many notes about like things that are, I think are coming, you know.
We should do that. And then
connections and...
We should,
we could do that.
Like, record it, and then whenever the next series come out, our series book, we can see.
You know what? I bet a lot of our listeners would have some good suggestions on what they think is coming too. So we could do like a whole thing with SpeakPipe.
That would be fun. Okay, stay tuned for that. That'd be really cool. But yeah, this book also makes me excited because obviously this is her newest in the series, and I feel like it was by far the best. Two was still really good, but as far as like, I just really, really loved it, which just makes me feel like the next ones are going to be that much better.
I even thought the writing was like better, I felt like it was a little more mature. It was, I don't know. I just felt like there was a lot more to the story, not just in actual length, but there's so many things, and I just found so many clues in there, things that I'm very excited to see up later on, even like tiny little clues, like one-liners, and you can overlook them so quickly. And for sure I did in some of my reads, but like every time, you pick up and you're like, oh, wait a second, what does that red star mean?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second, what does this mean? We should definitely talk about that.
Do we think I'm just looking. So this, she published it last year, 2021. And then this year she released, what was it? House of
Sky and Blood.
So do we think in 2023 we'll get another of this?
I do not think so. I think she has said that Crescent City 3 is coming first. I just found a blog with recapping an interview that Sarah did, and says that CC3 is confirmed next and will have set up for future ACOTAR and CC books.
Okay, so then I think, Cheryl, I know you don't want to read CC yet.
Well, I was just wanting to wait till we were close to CC3.
I think
I know we're going to be like, I know what happens at the end of 2, and we're just going to have to like,
I know.
But we can do it. We can do it. Okay, we can do it.
When do you think we should, Wendy? I get so many people every day. I'm sure we do.
I know. Yes.
Really?
People are like, you have to read it. You have to read it.
And I'm like, I haven't started yet. It's still, the two big books are still sitting on my nightstand.
They're on my shelf too.
I feel like we're going to have to do it
in the next few months. Let's do it.
Okay. We're going to have to start at the same time together, and then we'll have to podcast them right after. And then,
we will.
I think we're going to have to do that. Anyway, do you want to share your fun news about Valkyries?
Oh, yes. I do want to share my news about Valkyries. Okay. I follow this really awesome trainer. Her handle's Body Semantics, and she owns a company that's another account called the Micro Squad. And it's like a virtual Pilates studio, but she does these cool things called geek workouts, where they're themed to all this stuff, including ACOTAR. So she recently released one called the Valkyrie Workout. And this is what she had to say about it. In Valkyrie Squad, we follow the footsteps of Nesta, Emery, and Gwyn in A Court of Silver Flames, where you will strengthen your body, defend yourself, clear and steady your mind. This in-depth series takes you from the very beginning, giving you the essentials of core engagement, footwork, balance, and breathing. Every week, we'll layer on more techniques, and after 4 weeks, you'll advance through Blade and into Valkyrie. So I reached out to her, and she has given all of you guys 2 free workouts. So you can subscribe by the month or by the program, or just per workout. So everybody gets 2 free workouts so that they can try it out and decide if they want to continue with the code LitChicksRead. And it's good up until the end of this year.
That's so cool. I love it. And you're going to do it, right?
I'm going to do it. Yeah. I'm going to do it. And
you're going to have to film yourself.
I'll report. I'll film myself and I'll report along the way. We'll see if I can make it to Valkyrie.
Yeah, I bet you can. You're a badass. You can do it.
I'm very excited to try it. So I'll put all those links and info in our show notes. And I definitely want to hear back from anybody who tries it.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome.
We all know how into fitness Lauren is and posting what she does all the time. So I guess I'm going to have to.
I'll have to give. Maybe I'll give one of them a try. I'm pretty set on my program, but maybe I'll give the Valkyrie a try.
See, you know, I like to jump around my programs.
I know. Right? A lot of people do.
So this is perfect for me.
Yeah. Gotta keep it fresh and new, you know? So yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
This is perfect. And I'm very excited.
I think that wraps up. We've literally gone through the whole series and there's so much more we could say, but at some point in time we have to stop, right? Like, you know, wouldn't you say?
I think it makes sense to do another one.
Yeah. I think we should. I think we should do another one where people can call in on our SpeakPipe and leave messages on maybe like their predictions or what they want to see happen or what they think might happen. And then we can chat a little bit more about that, like just on the series as a whole, because we've had to do one by one, right? Like each book one by one. This one was mainly on 5, but now we can discuss like all of them, you know?
All what of them. Yeah, we tried so hard not to give spoilers for each episode as we went.
I know.
So it'll be nice to kind of talk about some things that like are woven throughout the whole series.
Yes. Yeah. Even just things we noticed, you know, from back, you know, whenever. I don't know. I think it'd be really cool. Yeah.
And we were trying to keep these to a reasonable length, right? So we can't, we can't talk about everything in every book. You could do a whole podcast season on this one book alone and just like dissect every piece
by
of it.
By each part.
So there's 100% more to talk about here.
But you're the one who introduced me to this series, right?
I think I did.
I think you did. I'm so thankful.
I know I told you to read it. I don't know if I'm the only one who told you to read it, but
I'm so thankful you did because it's truly my top series. I just love this so much. And it's so funny. I have had so many people on Instagram and big shout out to everyone who sent me messages about this. Who have messaged me and are like, I started reading ACOTAR because you mentioned it, because it is very outside of books that I normally share on Instagram.
It's but very, very different from a Colleen Hoover.
Oh, so or Christina Lauren. Yes, so different. But yes. I love that we all like now have this bond over ACOTAR. And it was so funny. You remember when I went to Kenny Chesney recently? Do you remember when I did that like a few weekends ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So the girl, Brittany, shout out to Brittany if she does listen to this, but she works for his rum brand. And she was like, I followed you for so long. She's like, you actually got me onto the ACOTAR series. So we were at Kenny Chesney chatting ACOTAR. And it's just so funny.
I love it.
And my friend who was there was like, what? It's like, you know, but it's just so funny because I get so many people who randomly will message me, or even if I meet them out in public, are like, I picked up ACOTAR. Yeah. Like, I'm so hooked on this series. And it's just, I love that. I love that we all can kind of
love it
over books, you know? And so I'm thankful.
Yeah. And how it filters down is great. Well, thank you. I have to shout it again. I think I said it on our first ACOTAR episode.
Yes.
The way I learned about these books was from Sherry from Young House Love.
Young House
Love. Shout out to Sherry. Love her. And she called them her sexy fairy books. And I started reading them that week.
That they are. So. I flew through this series. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish I could read it again for the first time. So
I know. Wouldn't that be so lovely? I'd love to read this again for the first time. I'd love to read Outlander again for the first time.
I still haven't.
You know what I haven't done and I want to do with you?
What?
I also have her Throne of Glass series.
What? It's funny.
Never reread it. Never.
You never reread it?
Only once I've read it. Okay. I've never reread it.
I have them sitting in my Amazon cart. Because I don't think they have all of them at my local bookstore. So you can buy like the whole collection. You know, figured I'd buy the whole collection. I do think we should do that. My friend started reading them and she said, they're not as sexy, but they're very good.
No.
Because
she started writing those when she was 16.
Are you serious?
So So they like increase in maturity and the writing. Everything increases through the series, you can imagine. But yeah, they are more of a young adult than a new adult. Yeah. But they still do have some steam. They still do have steam. So don't
brain is mind-blowing.
Worry about that.
Yeah. Okay. Her brain is mind-blowing.
I love it.
Like, I don't even... so intricate. So many details. Oh, so brilliant. We should do that one though. Maybe we'll do that next.
Okay, so how about this?
You've only read it once?
Plan.
You've only read it once.
Which is hilarious because I have 3 copies of them. Because I read them all on ebook initially, realized how much I loved it, got them all on hardcovers, and then they released these, I'll have to send you a picture. It's like these little teeny tiny ones they released the whole series in, where each book, it's such a gimmicky marketing thing, but I found them on clearance for like $4 each. Yeah. So I bought them. But they have like each one is for one character, and that character's name is highlighted in a certain color for the whole book. So there's like, it's such a funny thing, but like they're adorable. I love them. And so, yeah, I have three copies.
Okay.
This is what we should do. We should do Crescent City through the end of this year.
Okay.
So sometime over the next couple months.
Okay.
And then maybe in the new year, we start Throne of Glass.
Okay. I'll do it hardcover.
That way we still have lots of... that's why we still have lots of time for...
Ooh. How many are there? One, two, three,
that way it'll... that kind of spreads out our fae fantasy podcasts with like... lots of other ones too.
Yes, because there's a lot we want to talk about. We're actually filming this on the day that the Verity hardcover, look what I have. Hold on, wait.
Oh, do you have it?
I have it. And I already read it.
It's so pretty. You read it? Okay, after this,
I read it.
Okay, we need to get on the phone because I need to know what's in that epilogue.
Okay, I will share. I know, it's kind of a bummer that they make you buy a new book to get the epilogue. But it's actually a fairly long epilogue. But yes, so
that is long.
We have to. Well, hold on. That's in the acknowledgments too. Yeah, right here. This is the.
Epilogue. Oh, okay. Still, that's sizable. That's pretty good. That's a good value.
Yes, but there's still so many books we are gonna chat about on here. So, yeah,
we'll
spread out with our other fun reads with the fae fantasy. Yep. Are they fairies?
Sounds good to me.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Yes. So leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thoughts in general about, right? You want to say it like that? Thoughts in general.
Sure. About thoughts Avatar? For the whole series or predictions for what's coming?
Yes.
But keep it to, we won't be able to play it on the podcast if it has spoilers for other books. So you can leave those for us if you want. But if you want us to play it, it needs to only, you can only talk about ACOTAR, the series of ACOTAR.
Yes. Okay. So send us predictions, thoughts, whole series, because we're going to do a whole other episode on that. As you guys know, we have our Patreon. We just got something fun in the mail that I'm going to be posting about in there soon.
Yay.
Specific for our Patreon members. So we're going to have, it's $1 a month. Super cheap way to support the podcast. And we've got some fun stuff coming for you guys, some fun gifts in there. So that link will be in our show notes. What else? Our Instagram and our show notes.
always come to Instagram because we're doing this.
Unscripted, so we don't have to.
Just that's what you love about us. Say? Come on.
We're always over on Instagram. Yes, sharing our new reads. I actually have several I need to share over there with you that I haven't told you I've read yet.
And I've been working on something for everybody over there as we head into the season of the witch. So that'll be coming within a few days. I'm going to try and have it ready for October 1st. So,
so fun.
Probably it'll be out by the time you hear this episode. That will be out on our page.
That's right. And yes, so if you aren't following us on Instagram, follow us over there. And then, as always, we would love for you to subscribe. Leave us a review over on your podcast streaming devices. You can find the Chicks Read everywhere. Right.
And share with whoever you think would like us too.
Yes, absolutely. And so we'll see you guys next time. Stay tuned on Instagram. We'll tell you what we're chatting about next. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.